Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Roll pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Okay, everybody, let's go. The Super Talk Eagle Hour is back on the road. We're in Montgomery, Alabama, of course, at the site of the 2026 Sunbelt Baseball Tournament. And it's already gotten off to a very interesting start. We were out here, was it a little before or after midnight, team? Kind of lost track at one point.
I think the game ended at about 12:15. I left the stadium about 1:15, 1:30 a.m. So
yeah.
It was a very late night. Just thank goodness that they didn't play the next game last
night.
Well,
that cut
down. I'm just kidding. Right. But yeah, no, I'm just glad they got the game in, number one. Right. But also, I mean, it's nice to get the win and not have to play today, because it's a quick turnaround for that loser.
Special coverage of our coverage here, we want to thank Genesis of Hattiesburg, Corner Market Food Stores, Parrish Tractor Company, Century First Federal Credit Union, and the Illinois Central Railroad right behind us. Jeremy McClain, of course, is the athletics director at the Southern Miss and graciously joins us every time we're here. Jeremy, thanks. You were up here with us last night. It was a late night and a close call, wasn't it?
It was. It was a late night, especially for those of us who are over the age of 40. It was gets a little tougher to stay up that late. But a really good ball game. Certainly knew that Georgia State bunch was going to compete, and they're scrappy. And, you know, you watch them put up 17 runs in the first game, it doesn't make you feel real comfortable.
No.
And so I thought our guys did a good job of really pitching through some difficult moments last night and get some key outs. And certainly we had some timely hits, too.
You must enjoy watching the pitching with your background.
I do. I will admit that that's a really enjoyable for just to watch our guys compete, you know, is fun. And, you know, certainly us demands a certain level of competition and an approach on the mound. And that's something for me that's always been really important and was part of who I was. And so it just kind of lines up with the parts of the game I enjoy the most. And so I do. I love watching our guys compete. And you know, we've got a really special thing there when you think about the arms and kind of the history over the last, you know, 10 years or so, what that's looked like. I hope nobody takes that for granted, because it is really special.
Right. See, update us on the schedule changes involving Southern Miss for people that may not know.
Well, all the games got moved forward, so Southern Miss was scheduled to play tonight at 7:30 p.m. with the win last night, but since the finale game last night was played this morning at 9 a.m., so that moved all the schedule up. So Southern Miss now plays Troy at 11 a.m. tomorrow, weather permitting, because it doesn't look great on the forecast. Weather permitting, the loser of that game has to also play tomorrow again. So doubleheader, the winner goes to Saturday. Jeremy, something I wrote in my story last night after the game was, and we kind of talked about it off air, was key plays by veteran players in the moments of that game. Yeah. Matthew Russo, 4 RBIs, a couple late, and then Allen to close the game there with the go-ahead run at second and one out, gets a strikeout with the slider, and then obviously the ground out. But two players who've done a lot for this program here. Yeah. They've done a lot here, you know, and again last night came through when they needed it to get 1-0.
Yeah, and, you know, that's what you want. I mean, that's what's great about baseball and about team sports is, you know, you want your best players and your leaders in those moments. And what you know about those two guys you mentioned and several other guys, what you know about those two guys in particular is that they've been there. Like, the moment's not going to be too big for them. They're not going to put any additional pressure on themselves. They know how to handle that. And so, you know, you knew Colby was going to get his opportunity to finish that game last night, and as it should have been. And he's earned every bit of that. And I had a ton of confidence that he would finish it. And as you said, you know, Matthew coming through with some clutch two-out hits and RBIs and just really really kind of showing why he's a leader on this team.
Yeah. No doubt. You know, when Colby gave up the, I guess, it felt like it was going to be the tying run because he kind of rounded third but then stopped Bob. And Oz goes out there and talks to him with the go-ahead run at second. And I asked Oz last night in the press conference, and I said, you know, what did you say to him? He said, listen, I just told him, you've been our guy the whole year. We trust you, and we don't want the ball in anyone else's hands. And I just thought for him to get the strikeout there and not have to, you know, bring another arm was just really important. And it's kind of a game that they really needed to win because of how the weather, you know, you burn Graydon Harris. He obviously can't give you an extended game. And then you bring in your basically your three frontline pitchers from the bullpen, and Sibley, Ock, and Allen. So, all you know, that was just important to get that done.
And no longer than those three pitch, though, Jeremy, they probably still have some gas left.
Yeah, right? I will tell you, I certainly think he made some decisions with that bullpen knowing that he had a day of rest today, yeah. Right? Those decisions might have been a little bit different had we not been playing on Friday. And so you're right. I think those guys all are available to come back, and nobody got super extended. Dima's right, you know, to that point about everybody pitching, key guys pitching, you want to win that ball game. But I do think everybody will be ready to come back.
We haven't had a chance to ask you this, but when you look at all the really star players that this team lost last year, and now they come back, they replace those guys, they win 40 games in the regular season, and here they are set, you know, to have another really exciting finish. What does that say about the baseball program overall, Jeremy?
Well, I think it says what you just said. I think it's about the program, right? It's not about the – each team is a little bit different. Each individual player, brings certain things, and we – you know, every year I've been here anyway, it's felt like, man, how are we going to replace those guys that are leaving? But when you are a quality program, you figure out ways to do that. People say, hey, we don't rebuild, we reload. That's an old saying, right? So that's kind of how it is. It feels for us. I mean, I think our coaches have done a great job of kind of – they know what our identity is. They know what works for us. They do a great job in evaluation and trying to bring the right players into our program. And so replacing guys doesn't feel like as daunting of a task because they have a great plan for how they're going to do that. There are guys sitting on that bench right now. There are guys who haven't thrown an inning that they have plans for over the next couple of years, right? They know they're going to be guys for us. And, you know, and so that's kind of been the quote-unquote secret to the whole thing is that I think we know what our identity is, and we know how to identify and evaluate and develop people. And if you can do that, I'm not saying we're never going to have a down year, but if you can do that, then I think you can have some real sustained success, which we've obviously seen with our program.
I want to ask, because a lot of our listeners are going to want to know, and I don't want to run out of time before I ask this, but obviously Southern Miss right now, and you're on the committee, the selection committee, mm-hmm. and you can share however much you'd like about that, but Southern Miss right now, if you look at a lot of the national coverage, they look to be one of those teams discussed for a top eight seed. And the other two teams kind of in that mix is Florida, Florida State, who also ADs are on the committee. So when you were evaluating those three teams, is there going to be a committee left?
Yeah, well, I have to give some thought to that. And, of course, you're referencing the fact that anytime we're up for discussion, we have to leave the room.
Right.
We don't get to – you know, I think people think I get to stand up in front of everybody and lobby for our team, but I don't get to do that. Nobody gets to talk about their own team or vote for their own team. So we'll be out in the hallway, you know, a lot probably.
Yeah.
And that's not the first time that's happened where you end up, you got a 10-member committee and you end up with, you know, five, six people in the room because other people are can't be in there. And so that's certainly not uncommon, but I feel like it will happen,
yeah.
You know, this year at some point where a lot of people are not part of that discussion.
I would say like 3 weeks ago, the Sun Belt kind of felt like they were, you know, teetering towards a two-bid league. Now it feels like Louisiana maybe feels pretty safe. You know, if Troy could go on a run here, it seems like you could get maybe a 3 or 4 bid league out of this.
Well, you know, we'll see. I've got to be careful not to comment on
some
of those things. I do think, but I will say this. I think, you know, all these games are important. I mean, you think about Louisiana, you know, winning first couple and the RPI improves and their numbers begin to look a little different. Same thing with Troy. Like, all of that matters. And so I do think that I will say this. I think the Sun Belt is a really strong conference. And I think we are certainly a league that should and you know, year in each year is a little bit different, but we should be a league that's going to get, three or four teams in on a pretty regular basis. And each year, again, each year is different depending on what happens in non-conference and how things shake out in the league. But I just think we're strong enough right now that that should be what we're shooting for every year.
Yep. On the other side of the break, I'm going to ask you to kind of go through some of the metrics of how the committee works. But before we get to that, overall, the league, you as the athletic director, other ADs, you guys happy with the way things are being taken care of here every year in Montgomery?
Yeah, I think our teams are taken care of. I think that kind of starts there, certainly. I think you're always looking for ways to improve the experience, right? And so that's something I'm kind of focused on and want to be able to give feedback to the league on anything we kind of think, either from a fan standpoint or whatever that may be, that, hey, these are things we see and we feel like, you know, we're at a place nationally as a baseball league. We need to make sure that we're doing everything at a top level. But I do think they take good care of us. I think our teams are happy with that and feel good about that situation.
Yeah. And it's pretty convenient.
It is.
From the standpoint of once you get here, you really don't have to.
It's like there are not a lot of places where you could do kind of the way it's done here. You know, I'm walking back and forth to the park yesterday from the hotel, and I see Coastal Carolina, you know, they're walking out of their hotel in full uniform and coming over. And and so you just don't get that experience a lot of places, and I do think that's unique, and our coaches do enjoy that.
All right, we'll have more with Jeremy McClain. We're at the Sunbelt Baseball Tournament here in Montgomery, coverage sponsored by Genesis of Hattiesburg, Corner Market Food Stores, Parish Tractor, Century First Federal Credit Union. Also, still to come, Jeremy may warn us off of this, we're going to bring Jay Walker and John Cox on at the same time.
Oh, boy.
It's pretty risky, Jeremy.
That is, might be a little bit risky, but I think you guys can handle it.
All right, we'll have more from Montgomery, Alabama as the Super Talk Eagle Hour continues.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, want to welcome everybody back to our live coverage of the Sunbelt Baseball Tournament. We're very happy to be here and want to thank our great sponsors, Genesis of Hattiesburg, Corner Market Food Stores, and Parish Tractor Company, your local Kubota dealer. Locations in Hattiesburg and Poplarville, brand new equipment, parts, and service, and proud supporters of Southern Miss Baseball. As is Century First Federal Credit Union. They're located across from USM on Hardy Street, and they are member-owned and serving Forest and Lamar counties with all the amenities of large banks and a hometown touch. Jeremy McClain, Athletics Director, are here with us on our set. Still to come, John Cox and Jay Walker. Jeremy, you're going to be leaving tomorrow for the committee, selection committee. Take us kind of just through the logistics of what happens when you get there.
Yeah, sure. We'll, the committee is a 10-member committee. And so we'll get there tomorrow afternoon. We'll eat, and then we'll get to work immediately Friday night. And so, we'll just start the process of take some housekeeping stuff, going through our voting system, you know, making sure everybody's in a good place. And then we'll start some preliminary discussions. Now, you know, Friday night and Saturday, there's a ton of discussion. You kind of get into comparing teams and starting to talk through some themes. You know, if there are teams that are no-brainers, we kind of can all, you know, make talk through that, some of that. But, you know, there's a discussion up to a certain point because the games that are played on Saturday have an impact. Once you get to Sunday, you basically only have championship games for the most part. And so that begins to kind of narrow down how much more data could be available.
Do y'all sit around like a big round table, or is it like a square table? Are you looking up at a screen?
It's a big ballroom, and it's a square kind of U-shaped setup for us. And then we've got about 12 screens on the wall that we're watching games, you know, as again, especially on Saturday, because you're kind of, hey, you know, if they don't win this game, could it affect their numbers, those kind of things. And so yeah, we've got a bunch of TVs up on the wall trying to take all that in and keep up with it as we talk through that. And then you get, you know, into Sunday and kind of beginning to finalize some of those things. You finalize your host, you know, situation. And you really begin to finalize a lot of the field, but you get your host piece done and then release that Sunday night and then finalize the field and get it ready for Monday. And we come back in Monday morning, go back over it, make sure everything looks good before we send that out on Monday at 11 a.m. or whatever the time is for the show.
And just to be clear, the seating comes out on Monday morning, but the host
Correct.
Sites are announced on
That's
Sunday
right.
night?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, host sites on Sunday night, the rest of the field on Monday. You know, one of the changes that's been talked about quite a bit this year is in the past, we've only seated 1 through 16. And then everyone else was kind of, you know, are they a 2, are they a 3, are they a 4, based on kind of their data. And then geography played a really big role in that, kind of where people ended up. Fortunately, we kind of pushed to make a change to that and got approval to seed the first 32 teams. And so ones and twos will all be seeded on S-curve, which basically means, you know, if you just miss a host opportunity, you're a 17th team, then you're going to be matched up theoretically with the 16 host.
Yeah.
However, there might be a little bit of leeway there. There's still going to be some geography involved, but I think that's a much better system for us to try to reward people who've earned it. You know, I think about our situation a few years ago when I felt like we were a really strong two, just kind of outside the hosting opportunity, and we ended up going to Knoxville because the geography just kind of said hey, that's where the team needs to go. And so those kind of things hopefully will be avoided in the future.
Yeah. Well, and I know you can't say this, but people, I think, wonder why are two Mississippi schools always put in a same regional? If they're not always, but does
almost
this,
always
almost almost you're right.
Yeah.
Does this system, you think, tend to push away from that?
I think it's a yes, because I think it won't default to geography, right? And so it could still happen, right? I mean, it could still happen where that, you know, the geography matches and the numbers match, mm-hmm. right? But I think both of those things have to work now, not just the geography. And so I think it probably lessens the likelihood of that happening.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a quote unquote fairer way to do that and rewards teams that maybe aren't hosts, but they've really earned their spot in that top 32.
Walk us through, say there's a big disagreement on a team. You know, let's say that half the room is saying, yes, this team should be XYZ, you know, top 8, whatever it is, versus top 16. And then the other side says no. How do you guys make that final decision? Is it a voting system? Or
yeah,
can you
it
walk
is.
Us through that?
Yeah, so there's a lot of discussion, right? So that's not unusual for people to differ on their opinions, especially when you kind of get down to certain, you know, is a team in or are they not? Is a team hosting or are they not? There's certain points where it sometimes gets a little more intense, but yes, there's a voting system, and so you talk through that, you vote, then you, if there's no resolution, you have more discussion, and so that sometimes you can get hung up on things for a while, and that can get extended. It's like any voting process, but you know, I think that system works. It does sometimes mean that it gets tense, and you got to have some in-depth intense conversations. But I think the system works, and so it really is a lot of back and forth, and the voting system itself kind of allows you to eventually get to a place where you can move forward.
So it's not, you know, constitutional, you know, authority has to be all jurors decide.
No, nothing like that. No unanimous. It doesn't have to be unanimous. That's right.
You can't have a hung jury.
That's right.
That's right. Selection day.
I don't know.
Eventually, you have to make them think.
Oh, man.
How important is it for schools like Louisiana, Jeremy, to play well here? Because it would seem that maybe Louisiana can play themselves into the regionals. Not just Louisiana, any Sun Belt team.
Yeah, I'll say that in broader terms. Like, I think – it's really not about the tournament. It's about the additional data points, right? Like, it's about I've got an opportunity to play two or three or four more games. Can that affect my RPI positively? Can I get another quad one win? Can I get another top 100 win? Whatever the metric is, like, it's not necessarily about the tournament itself. It is about, unless you win it, of course, but it really is about the additional data points. And can we move the needle in a positive direction with our numbers given the fact that we've got these additional games after the regular season. Mm-hmm.
So many tournaments now. You know, we're seeing with the playoffs, they're wanting to go to 24 teams. The NCAA tournaments just for basketball just announced they're going to be extended. Do you see any scenario where the baseball tournament maybe expands the field?
I don't see that right now, and I'll tell you why, because I think the baseball and softball tournaments, I'll use them, and there are others, but I'll use those two as an example. I think they've had it right for a while. Mm-hmm. Like, I think the larger field, the opportunity for access, I think that is kind of the you know, why it's so fun, right? Like, you know, in baseball and softball, you have the upsets, you have the teams that play well at the right time and make a run. Like, that's what makes it enjoyable, I think, in a lot of ways. And so I don't necessarily see it expanding. There may come a time when you know, there's a reason to do that. I don't think there's a reason to do that. And part of that, Demon, really is there's not any additional money involved. Now, you'll see the college football playoff conversation and the basketball conversation come up.
Because they're adding licensing.
Can you, if you add teams, can you then parlay that into a better TV contract, media rights contract. So I don't think we'll see it in baseball soon.
So it's all about money, Bob.
Yes, Tom.
Yeah. In case you guys were wondering,
in case anybody was wondering what you're saying,
the status of college baseball is what, Jeremy? You think it's healthy and moving in the right direction?
Yeah, I do. Things are always changing. I think there's a lot of parity in college baseball, which I think is a great thing. I think, you can think about certain sports where I think about football, I think about men's basketball, women's basketball, softball even to a certain extent. The top five teams are so much better than everyone else that it's really hard to close. You know, if you get on the field with them, do you really have a chance to win?
Yeah.
And I just don't – I think college baseball is a little bit different than that right now. I think there's a ton of parity, and I think it makes it enjoyable. I think so I think it's in a really good place. I think we're going to continue to evolve as a game. I think you see that with technology, replay. SEC has got the experimental ABS system in for their tournament on the challenge system with ball strikes. And so I think we're going to continue to evolve and try to get better and make the game better and more enjoyable for the fans. But I think it's in a really good place, and I'm excited to, be a part of trying to help continue to move that forward.
Real quick, because I know we're about out of time, but I don't know if we're going to be able to talk to you before this happens. But let's say Southern Miss kicks down the door and finally gets back to the World Series. How big would that be for the university, not necessarily for the emotion of it, but just more of an analytical side of it?
Yeah, I certainly think anytime you get a chance to be on a stage that, raises your profile as an institution, I think it's really, really important. Whether it's a basketball tournament, whether it's a college football playoff or Omaha, like, I just think it begins to create a different narrative for you as an institution and gives you opportunities that probably don't exist outside of what athletics brings to the campus.
I'll have to tell you, as we leave, Jeremy, I'm not allowed to say the words World Series in our suite. Every time I say it, I'm told to shut up.
It's fair.
Thank you, Jeremy.
All right. Appreciate you guys.
Jeremy McClain, everybody. We'll be right back from the Sun Belt Baseball Tournament in Montgomery.
Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back. I want to thank our great sponsors, Century First Federal Credit Union, Parish Tractor Company, Genesis of Hattiesburg. We'll be talking to Kevin Mullins momentarily, and Corner Market Food Store, where everybody buys their groceries, right?
Absolutely. Great store.
I see John Cox at the Bellevue Corner Market
every day. I'm there every day. Yeah. Sometimes twice a day.
I'm there pretty much. You're always buying watermelon.
I love their watermelon.
You like your watermelon?
I love anybody's watermelon.
All right, this next segment we're a little nervous about.
It's already started rocking.
Jay Walker is the play-by-play voice of Louisiana, of course, the Raging Cajuns. How long, Jay?
34 years.
And Jay just told us that John had been doing Southern Miss sports. You said
106 years. 106 years. And you know what's crazy? The three of us are sitting here, and I'm the oldest one of the bunch.
Is that right?
Yes. Dan McDonald, who is in our Louisiana Raging Cajun Hall of Fame, but also the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame.
Uh-huh.
Dan's been in media in Lafayette for, well, 40-something years. We were at Sunbelt Media Day for football last summer. And Dan and I are talking. John walks up, and he's standing next to us. And I looked at him. I said, John, how does it feel to be the baby of this family?
So y'all are all older than me?
Just by a tad.
Just by a hair.
Let's cut his mic off. Yeah. Somebody cut his mic. Yeah. All right, John, what do you know about this man sitting to your right?
Well, what I know about him, he's a great comp. What makes him such a good broadcaster in my mind, he's a traditionalist. But he's a guy who knows how to take the names and numbers and stats of a ball game and mix them in with some great stories that make you enjoy it all. So he's my kind of broadcaster, man. He's not a guy nowadays, you know, that's worried about all this other stuff. He does it the old way. He just tells the story, and if you can tell the story, you can stay in it for a long time.
Yeah, and what do you know about this guy, Joey?
Well, I know, first of all, that the first time that I met John, I think it was in Hattiesburg for a game. Maybe it was at Blackham Coliseum. I don't remember. But I just remembered he had already been doing this for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, man, one day I want to be like him.
Mm-hmm.
And be able to and because, look, this is the best job I've ever had, okay? Well, it's mm-hmm. the only job this guy's ever had, right?
Right.
But when I knew that I was in the presence of greatness, a couple of years ago, your first year in the league, we had to go to Hattiesburg. The basketball teams were both really good that year,
yes,
right. You remember?
The whiteout.
And I'm sitting there, and I look into the student section, and they got a fat head of John Cox that they're passing around. And I said, I got to get this cat's autograph after the game, man. You know, because I guarantee you, ain't no fat heads of old Jay in Lafayette.
He has one in his living room right above his couch. He has his own fat head, yes.
That's good.
And there's one of Jack Duggan in there, I think.
There's one of Jack.
Well, I put Jack's out by the mailbox. That keeps a lot of people away from my house.
Anytime you can hang something on your refrigerator to keep roaches away, that's a good thing.
We might not have a credential for the regional.
Guys, I think it's fair to say that you both do play-by-play at the two most exciting, rowdiest baseball complexes in the league. Is that fair, Joey?
Yeah, I think so. You know, Coastal Carolina has great attendance also. Their fans fans are very supportive. But that ballpark has got an ambiance to it with the teal and the Adirondack chairs and the berms like it's the most laid-back place in the world. And I don't find that their fans are ever rowdy.
Right.
Now, in Hattiesburg and in Lafayette, that's different.
Yeah,
and, and look, when we go to the Pete, our guys know, the ones especially playing right field, that they going to get it.
Yeah.
And I think the folks in Hattiesburg know, and Southern Miss knows, that we got a group behind the first base dugout called Section A, and they're about 40 of them, and they're pretty brutal.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And I think that the great thing about it is I think the fans of both schools understand the game of baseball. You cannot look at a baseball game with a football mentality. It
mm-hmm.
just doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
But you got knowledgeable baseball fans in Hattiesburg and Lafayette. Makes it a great experience regardless of where that series is being played.
Yeah, no question. John, I guess you have the same experience in Lafayette.
Yeah, what I like about it is man, they'll give it to you, man, as well as anybody can give it to you. But when it's but there's nothing necessarily mean-spirited about it. They just want an edge for their team, and
that's right.
The day is over, and they'll just as soon invite you into their group and have something to drink or have something to eat. I don't know how many times we'd be walking back to the car after a football game or a baseball game or even a basketball game, and you know, somebody will say, hey, stop by our tailgate there.
Absolutely.
And they'll feed you. So, I mean, so it's you know, there's a lot of animosity is not the right word, but there's some friction between the two, but it's all kind of in fun, and it makes it a lot of fun.
I think some of the greatest road trips my wife and I have ever had are going to ball games in Lafayette.
Yeah.
Just what you just said. We didn't get invited to eat with somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you have a mutual respect in the two programs.
For sure.
You know, I remember back in the late 80s into the 90s up until 2000, Southern Miss was the program the Cajuns wanted to be. Mm-hmm. All right, because they were having success in the Metro. They were their football team anytime, any place, anywhere, and they were winning some of those games. And we always had, I think, a real respect, but at the same time, a real jealousy of who Southern Miss was. And now, finally, after all these years, we're in the same conference together.
Oh, yeah,
and our fans have looked forward to that for a long time. And I think the baseball rivalry has kind of taken care of itself. You know, we before we started playing in football in the league, we hadn't played each other in about 20 years. Same thing with basketball. So, you know, baseball's going to drive that rivalry between the two, but it's healthy and it's real and it's respectful. And right. And I like that.
Right. Yeah, I was just about to say that before you said that. Was what's so great is we get to see it a lot now because of Southern Miss moving to the Sun Belt, you know, and that was one of the biggest reasons Southern Miss moved to the Sun Belt, not only because it was a better conference than Conference USA, but also the regional rivalries with the Cajuns, with South Alabama, with Troy, instead of playing UTEP and Rice and Middle Tennessee State. You know, it's just so much better for the fans.
It is. It is better for the fans. And, you know, it was so crazy because our fans for years were upset that we weren't in Conference USA. Mm-hmm. Well, the reason they were upset is because you were in Conference USA, right? And so when it was said, well, look, it looks like Southern Miss is coming to the Sun Belt, all of a sudden, all of our fans thought it was great to be in the Sun Belt Conference.
Yes.
So, and I think Southern Miss has driven some of that, and that's fine.
Well, certainly the Sun Belt has elevated itself since Southern Miss moved, you know, or even the years prior to that, then back when, you know, Houston and some of those teams were in the Conference USA.
Well, you know what has happened, what, 4 years ago when the Sun Belt decided to add four teams? Mm-hmm. You added James Madison and Marshall, who have great football tradition. Old Dominion, who has had some success across all sports at some point in time, maybe not consistently. And Southern Miss for us was, of course, the crown jewel. But now you've got a 14-team league split into two time zones. Mm-hmm. You only technically have divisions in one sport, but you schedule like you have divisions in all sports.
Sure.
And travel costs have gone down as a result of that. And rivalries are being built because of that. Now, it's still hard to say that you have, you know, James Madison's got a great football program. But if they're coming to Lafayette, they're not moving the needle as far as our fan base is concerned.
Sure.
The only thing they know about James Madison is Billy Napier is coaching there now, right? Whereas if you're going to play a Southern Miss, now Louisiana Tech coming back in, or a ULM, or a Troy, or a South Alabama, well, fans can relate to them.
Sure.
And your fans can travel there.
Yeah.
So it makes perfect sense.
I mean, John, and you can talk about that because you were, you know, you called all these conferences. I mean, the Sun Belt to me just seems to make the most sense.
Yeah, it does. You know, it was really strange for many years. You know, you'd go to, and I love the folks at UTEP, but, you know, you'd go to El Paso or you'd go to San Antonio and you'd look up and there might be four or five fans from the Golden Eagles there, but not many. And Jay's right. That's the beauty about it now when you go to Monroe or you go to Lafayette or you go to Jonesboro, Arkansas, wherever it might be around the Sun Belt, you can always look up. You're going to see a pretty good contingent of Golden Eagle fans. So it's great for the fans. I think it has attracted a lot of national attention, I think, because of the TV broadcast and things like that. And, you know, I think even the media is starting to realize that there's something special going on in the Sun Belt Conference. So, it's been great. I know it's been great for Southern Miss. I can't, now that we're in it and been in it for several years now, I can't even imagine being anywhere else anymore.
You miss the bird bath out there, don't you?
Well, I do miss the bath. There's some things I miss at all those schools. And I miss the people, you know, our counterparts in the back in the old days of Conference USA and things like that. We're all great people, fun to get a chance to see those guys. But, you know, other than that, wasn't a lot in common.
Yeah.
Well, flying all the way out to El Paso for a basketball game is pretty counterintuitive.
Well, you have to, you know, one day we played at San Antonio and had weather issues the next day, so we got on a bus and went about 13 hours from San Antonio to El Paso. Like, there was one gas station and maybe one, not even a McDonald's. It was just some local joint that was hooked up to the gas station, so not much out there.
You two guys are the very best, man, and we appreciate both of you coming on the Eagle Hour.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having
appreciate
us.
It. Everybody listens to you guys, so great to be a part of it today.
All right, more from Montgomery, Alabama, other side of the break. Stay with us.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, everybody, welcome back. We're glad you're with us this afternoon as we broadcast from the Sunbelt Baseball Tournament here in Montgomery. As we are speaking to you, Appalachian State and Coastal Carolina are on the field playing. They've played two innings. There is no score. And we're in a kind of a rain-backed-up situation here. Southern Miss scheduled to play today. That has been put back until 11 o'clock tomorrow. We've got a lot of good baseball the rest of the day here, so I guess that other than Dima taking us all out to steaks and what have you, seafood, we'll just kind of hang around the ballpark.
Oh, I got to repay you for, you know, getting my room down here, and I'm just glad I had a place to stay.
Yeah, well, good. I'm glad you did too, Dima. Kevin Mullins, we're glad he's got a place to stay. And
yes.
We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for our great friends like Kevin at Genesis of Hattiesburg. And as always, my good friend, thank you for sponsoring our trip here, and thank you for your continuous support of Southern Miss.
Man, it's a pleasure to be part of the show and support Southern Miss and support Super Talk as well.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, people should know that Genesis of Hattiesburg, Hyundai, Kevin manages and runs them. They're owned by Mr. Grubbs and Matt Grubbs, and they're huge supporters. Mr. Grubbs goes way back, doesn't he, Kevin? A long-time association and support and love of USM.
Yeah, he probably goes back 60 years from when he was attending school, and he's been a loyal supporter over the years. At one point in time, you know, he paid for the band to come out and play at the basketball games, and mm-hmm. he's a tremendous, and he's basically at every home baseball game that they have. So he's even at his age, he's still out and about and enjoying the Southern Miss athletics.
And for people that don't know him, just a wonderful person. I mean, just a really kind guy. Well, I want you to know, Kevin, I'm happy to say this, that I drove to Montgomery in my Genesis that I bought from Genesis of Hattiesburg. And it was a beautiful drive over here, Kevin, but that's the case for everybody that buys one of your fine cars, isn't it?
It is, and I was just thinking to myself this morning before I was getting on the call, I was like, you know, it's time for Bob to get another Genesis. It's been a while since he's gotten that one, and it's, you know, and on a nice rainy day like it is in Hattiesburg, you know, who better to sell to than one of your friends?
Well, there you go. Is it raining there, Kevin? We're a little bit of sunshine here at the moment.
Bob, don't say that.
Yeah, at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah. It's been rough all day here, but I hope for great weather over there in Montgomery for you all.
Well, it doesn't look promising tomorrow, Kevin, so just be praying that the good Lord will bless us with a window.
Yeah, we're
right.
We're stuck
you'll
here
probably
with no
get tomorrow what
today.
We have today. Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah, oh, that's great. That's a wonderful thought. Another day hanging around the hotel with nothing to do. Kevin, let everybody know what you would like Eagle Hour listeners around the state to know about your fine car dealership.
Well, right now, through Memorial Day, they've got really low financing on all of our cars. Right now, we've got competitive owner rebates, loyalty rebates, military rebates, first responder rebates. Just a good time to buy a Genesis. In fact, the interest rates, it varies from car to car, but they're lower than they've actually ever been. So it's a really good time to purchase and or lease a Genesis. Also, just stop by and check out the facility. It's it's a great place to come in, have a cup of coffee, grab a soda, grab a snack, and just sit down and talk with some of the team members and get the tour. It's a really nice place just to come and hang out.
And it is the exclusive Genesis showroom for the state. Am I right, Kevin?
That is correct, and there is no future plans to have another. So we feel really fortunate and blessed to be able to carry the flag for Genesis in the state of Mississippi.
Before we run out of time, how did you land that?
It was really based on two criteria. One, we were selling the most Genesis in the state, and two, we actually ranked really high in the nation for customer satisfaction. And that's when you're dealing with the luxury brand, that's really what they look at, is how you treat the customer and what the experience is when they come visit you.
Right. Well, man, we really appreciate you very much. And all, I got to let people know, we're friends. Kevin and I are friends. And
absolutely.
I'm happy to say that, and really do appreciate all your support of our program. And Kevin, I couldn't let you go without saying hail to the Redskins to you.
Hail to the Redskins, baby. It's going to be a better year than last year.
All right, my friend. Thank you as always, Kevin.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Kevin Mullins, everybody, at Genesis of Hattiesburg. All right, Damon, give us a breakdown, a minute or so we got left. What's in store today?
Today, well, I hope some good baseball. We've got a good game going on right now between Coastal and App State. Elimination game, more so for App State. They lose today. They think their season's over. After the results yesterday, Bob, I mean, I'm thinking, and I know we had Jay Walker on earlier, mm-hmm. and he said that potentially a four-bid league. I mean, right now, and you look at the RPI, I mean, it's looking great. 39 and 40 for Troy and Texas State. That's a pretty good spot to be in. And then Louisiana at 36, I think they're safely in no matter what happens in the tournament. Of course, they'd like to get another one, but I think they're pretty safely in. So there's a good chance here. I think the Sun Belt could get five teams in. I mean, I think that's an outside chance and pop probability. No. Now, I think it'll come down to maybe Troy or Texas State, but there's a great chance to get four and a possible chance to get five.
So we know it's going to be Southern Miss, Coastal, and Louisiana.
I think that's a given.
And we think either –
Troy or Texas State.
Troy.
And
Troy,
you could get both in. You could get both in, considering if they were to beat Southern Miss and Louisiana.
Good. All right, we'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. The Golden Eagles are scheduled to play at 11. Demon and I will be on the air right here above the field at 1. And we sure hope you'll join us. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks to Michael back in Hattiesburg for keeping us on the air. And we'll see you tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Until then, Southern Miss to the top from Montgomery, Alabama.
Time keeps on slipping. Into the future. I wanna fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.